talk. Am I switched on now? Am I all right? Thank you. Our all age talk this morning was based on Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 53. Now, we always assume, I was taught, that Luke wrote a gospel and then the Acts of the Apostles. And I just want to remind us of the first few verses of Luke's gospel that begins with these verses, and it says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from the first who were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Luke wasn't one of the disciples, but he heard and learnt and believed what they taught him. Our reading in Acts today begins with Luke addressing Theophilus and reminding him of his previous book and all that it set out about Jesus, his teaching and his instructions to the apostles before he ascended. As we get into Acts chapter 1, can you think of a moment, about a time, think for a moment about a time when you felt lost, abandoned, or all alone? Perhaps you were in a large shop, distracted by something, and you lost contact with the people you were with. I often lose Ron in shops, or he loses me, I'm not sure which way around it is. But not being very tall, I usually get a bit, "Where's he gone?" type of thing. Panic sets in. You're frightened. You don't know what to do next. Forgive me for this, dear. But the minute I see his bald head shining under the shop lights, relief sets in because I know where he is. And I guess it was similar sort of situation for the disciples. The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd heard him teach about God's kingdom, and they'd seen many, many miracles. The disciples had also seen Jesus nailed to a Roman cross and seen him die a horrendous death. And they would have felt abandoned. They had believed that he was the promised Messiah, but now he was dead, placed in a sealed tomb. What were they to do next? But as we all know, feelings are not always the truth in a situation. If the disciples had felt abandoned when Jesus died, that was not the truth. Jesus told them very clearly, before he was nailed to the cross, that he was going to suffer and would rise again. He told them this. And we read about that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, where it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." He taught them this. He taught them about it. And despite being told what to expect, It's likely that the disciples would be frightened and overwhelmed when these things were actually taking place. It's all very well to know what's going to happen, isn't it, sometimes? But the reality of it sets in at the time, and you get scared. Seeing the innocent Son of God being treated like a criminal and being nailed to a Roman cross would have been very, very traumatic and very unsettling for the disciples. Not surprising that they ran away and hid, is it, really? 3 days after Jesus was buried in a sealed tomb, as we all know, God raised him from the dead. He did exactly what Jesus had told his disciples he would do. To prove that Jesus was really alive and not a figment of their imagination, he stayed on earth for 40 days. And during that time, Jesus appeared to his disciples, sharing meal with them. We certainly know that he met some of them on a beach and cooked them breakfast. What's more real than that? A barbecue on the beach. It doesn't come more real than that, does it? And Luke tells us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 that over 40 days Jesus gave many convincing proofs of his resurrection. He appeared many, many times. Sometimes to a few people, sometimes to all of them. And the one that really seals it is when he appeared to Thomas. Thomas wasn't with them when he saw them the first time. And Thomas said what? I won't believe it unless I see it myself and put my fingers in the holes. And Jesus appeared and said, come on, Thomas. You can put your fingers in, have a feel, make sure that you need to believe this. But blessed are those who believe without seeing. But Jesus proved to his disciples that he was alive, he was real. And Luke also tells us that during this 40-day period, Jesus spoke to the disciples about the kingdom of God. He gave them very important instruction. And if we read part of our reading again this morning, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we read... Do we? On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' instructions. Don't go anywhere for a little while. Wait. And sometimes we are called to wait, aren't we? God promises us things, but then we have to wait. Jesus knew what God had planned, and he was preparing his disciples for when he returned to heaven. Now, the disciples didn't fully understand what was about to happen, but they needed to follow the instructions Jesus gave them. How many times are we given instructions what to do? We don't fully understand it, do we? It comes to my mind that often I'll say to Ron, when I've got my computer out, what do I do with this? Oh, you press that. Why? Is my question. You press that. Why? Just do what I'm telling you. But I need to know why. And the disciples would have been the same. They wanted to know why they should do. But God's plan was for Jesus to return to heaven. And they wouldn't have understood that. Jesus had chosen his disciples to be his messengers after he left. This is the message they were to give to others. And we can read in Matthew 28 what we call the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says this: "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus gave us a promise. He would be with us always. And although Jesus was returning to heaven, he was not abandoning his disciples. And it's good for us to remember that God never, ever abandons his children. God doesn't give you something to do, and then, as Bev once pointed out to me very lovingly, God doesn't give you a job to do and then pull the rug. He doesn't leave you on your own. He's there all the time. The message that the disciples had to take couldn't be taken to people without God's power. It was important for the disciples to be obedient and wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come. When Jesus had finished instructing his disciples, he ascended into the sky, as I tried to illustrate earlier on, where a cloud hid him from their view. And these children this morning did exactly what the disciples did. And there they stood, probably open-mouthed. What do we do now? Can you imagine being there on that day, on the Mount of Olives? Do you think that the disciples were straining their necks for one last glimpse of Jesus? Is that what they were doing? They certainly stood looking intently up. It tells us in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, that they were standing there looking intently up into the sky when two men dressed in white came and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky?" You may ask who these men were. They were angels. They come to remind them that they've got to go back to Jerusalem. They've got to be obedient. God's faithfulness again, revealed as he sends these two men to give the disciples the message that Jesus would return in the same way that they had seen him go. Jesus will return in the clouds when God decrees. Who knows how long they would have stood there if they hadn't received that message? You ever seen a rocket take off from Cape Canaveral in Florida? You see people standing, watching them, and they stand a long time. I can remember years ago, many years ago, when passenger planes were relatively new, standing by the fence around what was then Elmden Airport. That takes you back, doesn't it? Elmden Airport, now Birmingham International. But we used to stand by the fence and actually watch the planes go off in amazement. It'd be the same kind of thing. And I always wondered if the people would come back. The disciples had a job to do for Jesus. But first, as I said before, they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. They went back to Jerusalem and went back to the room where they were staying. And in case we are in any doubt, a little bit further in Acts chapter 1, it tells us exactly who was there. I'll just read you Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And it says this. They returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Quite a lot of them in one room. And while they were waiting, they joined together constantly in prayer. A real lesson for us while we wait for God to have his purposes. It would have been very easy for the disciples to sit around feeling sad that Jesus had returned to heaven. But instead, they chose to obey his instructions and wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. They didn't waste time while they were waiting. They spent time praying together. Prayer is never wasted. They would miss seeing Jesus and having him to talk with them. But very soon, the Holy Spirit would be sent to them by God. The Holy Spirit would always be with them wherever they go. And would give them the power to do the important job of sharing the good news with other people. As we read about the early days before Jesus returned to heaven, we can be reassured and encouraged that he has not left us alone. We have not been abandoned. I repeat, we have not been abandoned. If we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and was raised to life on the third day. The moment we believe, his Holy Spirit comes to live inside our hearts. We will never be alone. And wherever we go, Jesus goes with us. If we belong to Jesus, we are never alone.